This afternoon, title of the message for the church is Therefore, Be Sober-Minded for the Sake of Your Prayer. Okay, if you could just look at the title, it's very meaningful. Okay, it's very meaningful. Therefore, be sober-minded for the sake of your prayer. And you probably noticed that word therefore, which means there's a reason why you need to wake up. You need to be sober-minded. Are you sober-minded? Well, we're going to have to see. Are you sober-minded? Are you in the right frame of mind? Yeah, please listen to the word of God, people. Okay? Obviously, this statement is speaking to a person whose mind is not sober. So many people, their mind is not sober. Their mind is drunken. Their mind is in stupor. It's a medical word, but it's also a biblical word. In stupor, which means you're just unconscious. Okay? Or in wrong place, or your mind is off. Can you imagine that? And then it says, for the sake of prayer, which is what it means to be alive. You know, this has been taught from this church from the beginning. Prayer is to be alive. A person who's alive prays. Children of God prays. People with the Spirit of God prays, but you can't pray. So do you treasure that praying time? Do you treasure that relationship and communing time with the Lord? We were singing, what was that song? Graham Kendrick song? Knowing You. It's the greatest thing. It really is the greatest thing. It's not my family. It's not my career. It's not my wellness right now at this moment. But Christ really is the greatest thing. And I really, really concur and affirm and believe in that. That's what we sing all the time. But do you treasure the time? Do you treasure the relationship? I just want to ask you. So, implying that people with their mind is in wrong place, in stupor, drunkenness, intoxication, and prayer is absent. Your relationship, your communing is absent. As a pastor who's been in ministry for decades, I think that's what I try to lead people to. They would love to commune with God, with the Word, with prayer. And everything else just flows from there. If you notice, prayer is two-directional. God speaks to you, and you speak back to Him. You don't just speak, to the air. He speaks to you. He speaks to you primarily through the Scripture. In other words, without Scripture alive and reigning in your heart, it's very difficult to pray and commune. And that's what the goal of ministry is. You need to come alive so that you will have hunger for the Word and communion with the Lord, and then you'll be able to be alive. Last several weeks, following Christ, future glory. The present suffering cannot be compared to the glory, because we are united with resurrected Christ, who is seated on the throne of God, inaugurated, coronated, reigning sovereign, Lord of all. And we are united with Him. And that's our future, and that is our already not yet, which means it is already true. That cannot be reversed, and that's our future. But for the time being, on this side of eternity, just as Jesus had to endure the cross for the joy set before Him, you and I are called to do the same. I think that's the big picture of a Christianity. And if you got that, or getting that, would you say amen? Absolutely true, people. So prosperity, such a lie. Such opposite of what the scripture teaches. I hope you're getting that. So 1 Peter and scripture basically narrow down to two ways of living. See what kind of life you're living. You either live for your own will, own purpose, or you live for the will of God. So one or the other. It cannot be together because Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You don't have two masters. You have one master. Either you are the master or the living God is the master. And that's what we've been saying. And last week we left off with those who live in the flood of devoutry. Do you know anybody live like that? Flood of devoutry. We talked about that. Sexual sin, alcoholic sin, and idolatry. And if you notice, they go together. They don't go separately. That is why I take seriously about alcohol. That is why I take things seriously about sexual sin. They go together. Intoxication knocks out your higher brain center so that your instinct comes out. Martin Lloyd-Jones, okay? He was a medical doctor, and he's a famous preacher. It knocks your higher brain down, so you go by your instinct. And what is that? Sinful instinct. It's more like animal. Remember a friend of mine, when I was in high school, when he got drunk, I think I could fly. And he went up to the tree, and he jumped down. And he has a scar, and still has a scar. Okay? So Peter and the Bible again and again and again saying these things. And there is a big game changer, which I want to introduce. It's really a reminder, which is written all over the New Testament. And that is, the end of all things is near. End of all things is near. Therefore, be sober-minded and self-control for the sake of prayer. It's written all over the place. The word imminent is a very important word in Christianity, which means very near, very close. What is coming back of Christ? The end is. Can we just pause for a second? And I want all of us to look at me, please. God speaks again and again and again, says, the end is near. Okay? It's written in the Gospels. Jesus spoke about that heavily, actually. Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse is all about that, actually. Paul spoke about that in Pauline Corpus, definitely speaks about it. What about Peter? Peter is speaking about that. And 2 Peter, I ask you to read to some of you, speaks about that. John speaks about that. Book of Revelation speaks about that. Okay? That conditions your Christian walk. If his return is just around the corner, how would you live? Okay, so I was thinking about this statement by Peter Davis, who is a scholar for New International Commentary, very, very reliable. And I saw this quote, and this just spins everything differently. He wrote, this expectation of imminent inbreaking of God's full and final rule conditions, return of Christ conditions, all New Testament teaching. Okay? And without grasping it, one can hardly understand the radical ethical stance taken within any of the New Testament literature. Can we just pause for a second? I think that's a true statement. I think that's a true statement. The expectation of the imminency, imminent return of Christ, of God's full and final rule, judgment and kingdom, it conditions the entire New Testament. In other words, that's Christianity. How many of you do believe in the gospel and Christianity? Would you say amen? Yeah. This is the condition, if you believe. If you don't believe this, you're going to live very foolishly. Okay? So, without grasping it, One can hardly understand the radical ethical stance taken within any of the New Testament teaching. And I've been saying that. Speak scripture makes no sense to you. It makes no sense to you. Someone told me last week, Pastor Paul, 1 Peter is my favorite book. I says, why? Because it is so real. And you know, I resonate with him. Not that 1 Peter is my favorite book, and it is. It is one of my many favorite books. But why? But he said, it is so real. Do you see like that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what he's talking about? Okay, without understanding it, you could hardly understand anything, actually. It makes no sense. And then he kind of concludes, if the end is right around the corner, imminent, you will live accordingly. Why do we not live accordingly? Because you do not believe it. Because you do not believe it. Let me just tell you, because you do not believe it. Because you do not believe it. By faith, by believing, we're preaching John's Gospel of John in Stony Brook Church Plant. And the purpose of the Gospel of John is it is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. And by believing, you will have life eternal in his name. Meaning, without believing that, you will never get out of here. You will never live accordingly. Okay? So, I want to explain this today. If this is the case, therefore, be sober-minded for the sake of pure prayer. That makes sense. Now that makes sense. Otherwise, oh, okay, we got to pray more. No, I'm not saying that at all. So, I want to talk about this imminency topic today. And you may be thinking, oh, come on, Pastor Paul, we are young people just starting out our career, and we have young children. We have so many years ahead of us. Why are you talking about things like this? Because this conditions everything, imminency of Christ. So listen carefully, whether you are a parent of a newborn child, whether you are someone who just started your career or practice, listen carefully because it applies to you. Okay, imminency is written, and the question is this imminency, inbreaking of God's full and final rule, or coming and return of Christ, historic return of Christ, to consummate and to judge the living and the dead, is that real? That's a good question. Is that real? Is that reliable? Is that something that you could rely on? Yeah, don't lose me. Look at me, please, because I want to speak to you. Is it trustworthy? Okay, well, I just explained, it is written all over the New Testament, in the Gospels, in Paul's epistles, Peter's epistles, and John's epistles, including the book of Revelation. So it's in the entire fabric of New Testament. Okay? So I just want to just share two, okay? What Jesus said and what Peter said. Out of all the things that we could have talked about, we could talk about it. You should study it. But I'm just going to talk about what Jesus taught and what Peter taught. So let me begin with Jesus. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, his Olivet Discourse. This is Jesus speaking, okay? This is Jesus himself speaking. I hope it draws your attention. He wrote in verse 35, listen, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. What is he saying? He's willing to put everything on it. Are you listening? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And this is what he says. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. That's the return of Christ, the imminent return of Christ. Not even the angels, nor of heaven, nor the Son, But only the Father knows. And verse 37, next verse says, listen carefully, but as the days of Noah. We've been talking about Noah. What's the Noah story about? It's about God's righteous judgment and salvation. Okay? Just as the day of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. That's a big connection there. That's why I'm saying this. And people are not listening. You know why you're not listening? Because it'll be like the day of Noah. Day of Noah, they didn't listen. They listened, but they scoffed. Scoffed. Are you scoffing at the word of God? I hope not, right? Concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, only the Father. But as the day of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So as in the days before the flood, what happened before the flood? They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And the next verse, this is so tragic. But they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. This is word of Jesus. Are you paying attention to this? High schoolers, are you paying attention to this? We're too young. No, you're not. You know what is being preached here. Are you paying attention to this? Married people, are you paying attention to this? I hope you are. I really do, actually. Because if you pay attention, you will not live the same. Definitely, people. Definitely. And we just kind of despise and just don't listen. People just kind of put it away. Has there been a change in your life? Why not? I'm going to Africa. No. Has there been a change in your life? I'm taking foundations. No. That's not going to change. Has there been a real change in your life? So how reliable is the teaching about imminency of Christ? Jesus put everything on it. New Testament put everything on it. Heaven and earth will fade away, but my words will not fade away. Are you listening? Are you responding? I'm seriously asking you. Are you responding? Oh, but my baby is ill. My house needs closure. I need to pay the student loan. I need to go to college. Are you listening? It'll be like the day of Noah. Not that many people will listen. Okay? I hope you're listening. I hope you are humble enough to listen. I hope you'll be triggered enough to move, to get out of here if you know this place will be flooded. Okay? Jesus is placing his name on it. If this is not true, reality or fact, the whole thing and Christianity collapses. It collapses. I hope you get this. Okay. Second place where where I want to talk about imminency is from the teaching of Peter. We are studying 1 Peter right now, but 2 Peter, there's a favorite, really, really good chapter on this. Second Peter chapter 3. This is now the second letter. This is Peter saying to the same group of people, sounds like. Christians who are undergoing sufferings because of Christ. Who have a same kind of mindset, arm themselves, try to get through. And this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Is your mind sincere right now toward Christ? Is it sincere? Or you just want to get through? Are you sincere? I'm serious, people. Are you sincere? You know, when you come and visit me and my home, I hope you come to me with sincerity. Or else you will be offending me. Do you agree? Yeah. I hope you're sincere. So that you should remember the predictions of the prophets and through Jesus, the apostles. In other words, Old Testament and New Testament speaks about this. Okay? Prophets and the apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. There is always going to be scoffers of the Word of God. Are you scoffing the Word of God? Or are you revering and following the Word of God? In my ministry, I've seen most of them do not revere the Word of God. Most of them. Okay? Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. You know why people scoff at like God's justice and things like that? Because of their sin. Scripture knows you. People say, oh, God is not fair. You know, why does he save this people and not this people? Why can't he just get rid of all this sin and evil? They always scoff, but Bible says they scoff because of their sin, sinful desire. They're just, okay. So what are they going to scoff? And this is the topic. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? In the last days, people will ask, just like days of Noah. Do you wonder that? Where is the coming of Jesus? Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things were continuing as they were from the beginning and to a beginning of creation. In other words, just like Noah's day, nothing changes. Where is the rain? People scoff. They deliberately overlook the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth formed out of water and through the water by the word of God. It is through the word of God, and most of our body and the world is water. We know that. But scripture says, interestingly, ironically, it was through the water he perished the whole world. What are we talking about? Noah's day. Noah's day. Okay? That by means there a world that was exist was flooded with the water and perished. And by the same word of heaven and earth that now exist are stored up for fire. The final judgment will be fire. We know that from the scripture. Right? Burning fire. I hope you are sincerely listening. Being kept until the day of judgment, destruction of the ungodly. Scripture speaks about judgment. And scripture speaks about salvation. That's what Christianity is. And then he explains to the scoffers. Okay? Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I love this verse. You know what that means? You live with the best medical service, 60, 70, 80 years. Hopefully you're healthy. Maybe you're up to 100 years. Hopefully you are sane. But God is eternal. God is different than you. God is not you, and you are not God. That's what he's saying. God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. You are not. Your days are numbered. Whether you live in the best medical where you could get the best medical service, like Japan or Europe or America, your days are at best 100 years. Oftentimes much less than that. In fact, scripture says, your days are numbered. But God is eternal. And then he says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. He is not slow to fulfill his promise. He's going to keep it, but he's not slow in a way that you count slowness, because one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. But he is being patient towards you. You know God is being patient towards you? Look at me, people. God is patient toward me. God is patient towards you. If God pays back what you deserve right now, What do you think is going to happen? I'm serious. What do you think it should happen? If God pays you back what you deserve right now, which he's capable of doing, what's going to happen to you? Bible says he's the consuming fire and holy. You will be vanished. Your life is vanished. But he's being patient towards you. Why is he being patient? Because he's stupid? No. It explains. Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing any of you to perish. Because otherwise you'll perish. What does that word mean? You'll perish forever. Okay? But he desires all to reach repentance. I'm going to ask you, please look at me. Have you reached repentance to the Lord? Have you reached repentance to the Lord? Are you sure? Are you sure? Have you reached repentance to the Lord? If you're not sure, you're playing a very dangerous game. Don't you think? People, this is the word of God. We're talking about imminency. Do you feel imminent? How come? Because you do not believe in the word of God. You don't feel any imminency in your heart. Right? But the day of the Lord will come. It's going to come like a thief. What does that mean? He's coming when you are least expected, without you expecting it. But he's coming. Scripture speaks about that. All of the scripture speaks about that. So heaven and earth will pay with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up. There's going to be a final judgment with the fire and dissolved at the end, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Verse 11, it says, since all of these things are to be dissolved, what sort of people should you be? What sort of people? What kind of life should you live? Come on, give me some sincere listening faces. What kind of people should you be? Scripture says clearly, holy and godly people, waiting and hastening in the coming of the day of the Lord. Sounds like Christianity. Don't you think? Waiting. Are you waiting for the return of Christ? What's hastening? Quickening. How do you do that? Preaching the gospel with your life. Scripture speaks like that. Waiting and hastening, urging the coming of the day of the Lord, because which in heaven will be set on fire and dissolved, and heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, listen, according to his promise, we are waiting for new heaven and new earth, which righteous dwells. Okay? So I just shared two places in the scripture, and I hope you take the word of God seriously, people. I hope you are sincere about the word of God. I hope you don't scoff at it. You old man, what are you talking about? Where's the rain? Where's the rain? You old man, you crazy old man. Right? I hope you don't do that. So in light of that, Peter speaks about three things, which I was going to try to cover today, but I'm only going to cover one. End of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayer. Okay? So in light of the coming of Christ, your exhortation toward God is be sober-minded and be self-controlled so that you will have communion with God. Do you have a communion with God? I'm really asking this question. Second thing is love one another deeply. Third is using your spiritual gift and serve the church. And I think if one is missing, two and three is definitely missing. It's impossible. Right? It makes no sense. If that relationship is not established and alive, second and third is impossible. I hope that makes sense to you. So Peter urges Christians and Christian followers to live to God, in relationship with God. And verse 7 says, "End of all things is near, therefore be self-controlled and be sober-minded for the sake of your prayer." And I want to just talk about that one verse today because it really, really blessed my heart. We went to Stony Brook to pray yesterday, and some of you joined, and I appreciate that. And as I was praying, and I wanted to share this, Christianity is not about bad person becoming a better person. Christianity is not about that. Christianity is about dead person coming alive. Christianity is not a bad person becoming a little better person, better marriage. It's not that. It's a dead person becoming alive. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? Would you say amen? Are you alive? Are you alive? To pray is to be alive. Really? Some of you went to church 20 years. I know you did. Maybe 30 years. Because ever since you were in mother's womb, you've been going to church. But there is no communing with the Lord. How do we define alive then? Right? So I just want to talk about that one verse. As Christ followers, if you are a Christian following Christ in light of that glorious future and yet persecuted, difficult present life, which is what it means to follow Christ, in light of his imminent return, be self-controlled and be sober-minded for the sake of prayer. And I just want to explain those two words, okay? The first word is be self-controlled, sophreneo, you heard of that in the book of Romans, the bent inclination, freneo. Sophreneo, it means in being in right mind. Are you in right mind? What does that mean? In a right mind. And I want to explain that because I was studying through this week and it's so good. If you could just pay attention. That word, are you in right mind, is used in Mark chapter 5 incident with Jesus. That story happens to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means this is an important story. I picked Mark version because it has most detail, and it took 20 verses to describe this one story. Story of a demon-possessed man in the region of Gennesaret. Gerasene, excuse me. Let me just describe this person. This demon possessed, listen, a man with an unclean spirit were living near the tombs. Can you picture that? You go to cemetery and you're living there. Smelling death all the time. And it says no one could bind him anymore. Not even with a chain, because he broke the chain apart in pieces, and he could take out all, you know, no one can bind him. Why? Because he's demon-possessed, supernatural power. No one can stop that person, smelling the death. What is he doing? Verse 5 says, night and day among the tombs, on the mountains, he always crying out. He is so passionate about something, he's crying out, no one understands. And cutting himself with stone, hurting himself with stone. And you know, I was reading this, wow, so many people live like that. Smelling death, hurting themselves, saying things that nobody understands. I'm talking about real world. An amazing thing happens. Verse 6. That's the description of the man. And then verse 6, and Jesus landed from the boat in the Gerasene, and he saw Jesus from afar. Who did? This demon-possessed man. The person with the right mind. And this is what he did. He saw Jesus afar, and he ran, and he fell down before Jesus. Have you ever done that? And he cries out with a loud voice to Jesus. Now listen, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? What have you to do with me, Son of the Most High? Who's saying this? The man or the demon? It's the demon inside of him. It's the unclean spirit inside of him. Men do not recognize Jesus, but demons do. Scripture says demons do. Right? I swear you by God, do not torment me. This is the demon speaking to Jesus. Son of the Most High. Why do you, what have you do with me? Do not torture me. And he's saying this because Jesus already said to that demon, cast out the demon, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. Jesus already spoken to that spirit. Now listen to me, people. And then Jesus asked the demon, what is your name? And the demon said, my name is Legion. You know what that word means? Roman legion, which means it's a largest division of a Roman soldiers. 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers. 2,000 to 3,000 legion of demon was in this person, in his mind. He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged, or they begged, the demons begged Jesus. Interesting. What's begging? Sounds like a prayer. Human beings don't pray, but demons beg. Do you pray, people? Do you pray? He begged, they begged, saying, send us to the pigs. Happens to be there was a herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs passing by. Don't take us out of this region. Allow. The demons are praying to Jesus, the Son of the Most High. Would you allow us to go into these pigs? And let us enter them. So Jesus gave the permission. Jesus answers the prayer. And the unclean spirits, plural, came out and entered the pigs, pigs, plural, and rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they drowned. It was about 2,000 pigs. Can you picture that? Would you picture that? This story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Mark version is the longest, about 20 verses. I'm going to ask you, what do you pray? What do you pray? I'm serious, people. Do you pray that you will be with the Lord at whatever the cost? Or do you pray that, do you wish that, do you pray that, do you parakaleo that he will leave you so that you could live your sinful desire? Be in right mind. What kind of mind are you in right now? Do you know anybody who hurt themselves? I know plenty of people do. They inject, they take drugs, they watch filthy stuff, they hurt themselves. They drink alcohol, they hurt themselves. And they say things, makes no sense, all the time. No one can stop them, only God can. Only God could change a person like that, right? Don't you see it? Only God could change a person like that. Nobody, they don't listen. People don't listen. Do you listen? Do you commune with the Lord and ask the Lord, beg, parakaleo, which means you're calling out to be, the Lord to be with you. And Jesus' final response to that man who had been demon-possessed and says, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, now listen, go home to your family members and friends and tell them how much Lord has done for you and how much mercy he has shown to you. You know, if I were to summarize the life of this man who was demon-possessed and basically living in the tombs around the dead and basically chained up and locked up and no one can restrain him, no one can stop him. He is saying things, crying out things that no one understands, and he is like hurting himself with all kinds of stuff. But Jesus showed up, right? And he saw, and he ran to him, and he humbled himself before him. "What is your name?" And the demon answered, "Legion." Legion. How many is that? About 2,000. Enough to kill 2,000 pigs. Right into the sea, being drowned. That's when he came to the right mind. Can you think about that, people? Can you think about that? Are you in right mind? Are you in sophroneo? Do you desire Lord to be with you? You beg him and you parakaleo him, "Please stay with me." Or do you say, "Please leave"? Okay? John MacArthur, I think I had the Christians who seriously study the scripture. I don't think that's seminary though. People who study the scripture and discover the profound truth about God and Jesus experience rich communion with him. Mark chapter 5, this just was my reading and meditation, what I'm sharing with you, which means you could do the same. Which you really could, actually. But I see, this story has nothing to do with people and nothing to do with congregation here. Yes, it has everything to do with people and the congregation here. Are you in right mind? Or are you out of your mind? There's another story like that, which I'm not going to share. Story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. The biggest empire of the world. See, it's like Mr. Biden. Mr. Putin. And he become like an animal. Because God takes his mind away. Really living in forest. Barking, crawling, eating, acting like an animal. Because God takes the sanity away. Scripture says, "The day of the Lord is near. Therefore, be sophrano." Sophroneo, be in right mind. Are you in right mind? Okay. I want to just close, people. Yeah, I just wanted to take my time and just explain that one verse, because without it, just like Peter Davis says, scripture makes no sense to you. How many of you say scripture makes sense to you? Would you say amen? Many of you, scripture makes no sense because you are not in that right frame of mind. Instead of you ask, "Lord, stay with me," you're asking to leave because you want to enjoy your life. You want to spend your money. You got to go out and drink with your friends. I'm young. Brothers and sisters, Christians who seriously study scripture and discover the truth about God experience rich communion with him, understanding what Paul calls the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And through the scripture and the spirit, you have the heart of God. You tear with the things that he tears. You are passionate about things that what he's passionate about. You want to live for the things and you treasure and you value things he value and treasure and he died for, which is souls and the church. and the spiritual things. And I hope you come alive like that. Christianity is not about bad person becoming a better person. It's about that person becoming a live person. It really is. It is not contingent upon your spouse. No. It is not contingent upon your parents. It is not even contingent upon your pastor. God raised the dead so that he or she will come alive. Are you in the right mind? Brothers and sisters, I passionately ask you, because otherwise you're just going to live that kind of like hiding life, which you're doing for the rest of your life. Hiding, always hiding. Let me close. The mind of Christian or Christ follower, if they have the right mind, in light of his imminent return, you would want to seek and commune with God, and you will treasure that. How many of you treasure that kind of time? Would you say amen? I always tell pastors, I teach pastors on Tuesdays, African pastors. I always tell them, if you are not seeking God, when you stand on a pulpit, you're going to speak everything except the scripture, which is terrible. Can you even imagine that? You're going to speak everything except what is in the scripture if you don't seek God and commune with God. If you don't seek God and commune with God, your heart will be dead person. That's what it is. That's what a death means. You're dead to God. Okay? Prayer is to be alive. It's to be alive, people. Are you alive? Okay? And how do you pray? I think communing with the Word of God. Without the Word of God, what do you pray for? How do you pray? You just don't know. In fact, truth of the matter is, you don't pray. Prayer is for a person who's alive, children of God. Are you alive? Okay? Prayer is closely, in fact, inseparably related to the serious study of the scripture. We just saw that. Discover the profound truth. Knowing you is the greatest thing. That's why songs like that moves my heart personally. Songs like that moves my heart. I'll give thanks unto the Lord with all my heart. Moves my heart because I know that is from the truth. They go hand in hand, don't they? They do, people. The end of all things is near, people. It's all of the New Testament scripture. Jesus said that. Paul said that. Peter said that. John said that. Book of Revelation says that. Prophets said that. Apostles said that. God said that. Don't scoff. Humble yourself. Because God wants you to reach repentance before the ark is closed. Before the ark is closed. Let's pray.